MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, Score Big has all the sports tickets you want at up to 60% off. It's easy to use. I've used it myself. All you got to do is log on to sportsgamblingpodcast.com and click the Score Big icon. Score Big, the lead pipe lock for great game tickets. Sports Gambling Podcast. I am Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Ryan, what's up with RG3? Start off there. Coming off the Monday night, we're taping this on a Tuesday night. Wanted to make sure we gave you guys a full day to download before the Thanksgiving Day games.
To consume. Yeah, especially with that early kickoff. I don't know, RG, I mean, I think we probably touched on this before the year, but we were just talking off the podcast. In the history of athletics, you basically can draw a line in the sand where Adrian Peterson decided to come back after 6 months.
AP, they call it.
Yeah, so it's I don't know, what would it be?
After Peterson, AP and BP. After Peterson, before Peterson.
Yeah, so BP, no way in hell a franchise number two overall pick would be rushed back onto the field less than, what was it? When did he get hurt? In December or January even?
Yeah.
January.
Yeah, it was in the playoffs.
Yeah. So he returned less than 9 months after his, or let's say 9 months. I think in a normal scenario, he might just be getting ready to come back now. I think in a normal scenario, he's on the PUP. He maybe starts practicing around week 7 or 8.
Yeah, and especially they had a bye week relatively early. I think it was either 3 or 4 games and a bye week, something like that.
I don't remember, but it
they could have given him, I think, a 6 week rest, and one of those weeks would have been a bye week.
Yeah, and I think you were sending me some articles the other day about how perhaps the reason behind him rushing back is his insane insecurity when it comes to his competence compared to backup Kirk Cousins, who he's definitely not as a dynamic of a player, but, you know, I guess you can make comparisons to the Philly situation. He's a, you know, maybe a more heady player. Maybe, you know, not doesn't have the physical tools, but maybe is going to make the more intelligent, safer play.
A little better accuracy.
I don't even know about that with Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins was a 4-year starter at Michigan State. He won a lot of games. He knows how to lead. He knows how to get the team behind him. And maybe that's what RG3 is intimidated by, his leadership ability. RG3 strikes me as a guy. There's two types of captains, right? There's the captains that are the de facto captain. You're the quarterback, you're our best player, you're the captain. And then there's the captains that, yeah, Kirk Cousins was a quarterback, and quarterbacks are often captains, but odds are I have a feeling that he was also a leader on that team.
Yeah.
So I think you have a case of two situations where, because RG3 was so personable outward, outside, we don't know what he's like inside the locker room. I think it's very easy. If you're a player and you don't know the guy yet, you're like, wow, this is going to be a great leader. He has such a good command over the language. He's articulate.
He speaks so well.
He speaks so well, which is something we love to dub on Black Dudes That Can Actually Speak.
Chris Rock is a great joke about that. Yeah, no, everything was setting up great. People forget that the Redskins were bad for the majority last season. They were 3-6. Then they rattled off 7 wins in a row, close fashion. A lot of those could have gone either way. I think they were just, everything went right for them that year. And this year, things aren't bouncing the right way. And RG3's confidence clearly rattled.
But I think it's more than that. And I think it is a situation where he... And Ray Lewis was making some interesting points. Now, I do find it odd or funny that they do seem to pick... Like, the media picks guys that they're going to support regardless of how poorly they're playing or what they're doing. Or they're going to believe... You know, like, because... Oh, just because RG3 and Mike Shanahan are saying that people are trying to character assassinate him, it's true. I mean, what if just take the story with Richie Incognito. Like, what if he comes out and says that first? Do people all of a sudden get on his back no matter what else comes out? I mean, there's a lot of circumstantial stuff coming out about RG3. Some of it leaked. Some of it made to the media with the receivers kind of firing back at RG3 after he decided to blame them for not getting open. But
well, I think
you
one of the,
sent me another interesting article today that had a bunch of
at Game of
okay
Podcast.
That base. I was shocked. It showed a bunch of clips of RG3 getting planted and none of his linemen coming over to help him out. And you know, go watch the tape of any team who has a quarterback that is viewed as a leader, whether it's an elite quarterback or even just an average quarterback that the team has gotten behind, like the Andy Daltons and the Russell Wilsons of the world.
Well, Russell Wilson, I wouldn't say is average, but yeah.
I'd say Russell Wilson's closer to average than people give him credit for. I think he's very dynamic with his legs, but I think it's fair to compare Wilson and Dalton in terms of their ability to lead a team, and maybe not.
I'd take Russell Wilson any day over Andy Daltons.
I think a slight edge goes to Russell Wilson, but
I say a pretty big edge.
But
just
you also
got
a factor that Russell Wilson's gotten to play with, you know, defense and other. Anyway, the point being that even guys like this, even guys like, you know, even factoring guys like Cam Newton, who might not have had the best outward facing reputation, the players are still picking him off. You watch when he takes a hit downfield. Steve Smith's behind him picking him up. I mean, so, and that's a case where he's the lead, you know, Steve Smith's a veteran leadership presence. And that's kind of what Ray Lewis brought up. Why was RG3 forced to take on all this responsibility? I know it's kind of a cop-out, but it's a good question. Why was all of this dropped on RG3 right from the get-go? I understand he's a high pick. He's a quarterback.
Yeah,
but still,
well,
you got veterans in that locker room. Someone's got to also kind of step up and show the team, hey, we got this guy's back. And maybe that happened, and then the guy changed his mind. Maybe it never happened because RG3 just isn't a good leader.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think RG3 wanted the limelight, wanted to step up.
Yep.
He's doing all the commercials. He's doing everything right. And that was working for a really long time last year, so who's going
to
question it?
We're also in a time, and to end on RG3, I do think it's a little unfair to say that maybe he's just not that good. I would like to see him play some more games without a bum knee, because he's clearly not the same athlete. And maybe you're right. Maybe he'll never get that back. But yeah, I would. I don't know.
I mean, it's weird. You can't. It's as much as you know, the sport. Obviously, I'm an Eagles fan, so I'm rooting against RG3. But the sports fan in me wants him to be beat at 100%. Now.
Yeah, but let's just like...
I mean, look at Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was never the same after an ACL injury.
Sure.
Who's to say that RG3 is just all of a sudden going to get that extra burst of speed he had?
And I guess that's my point.
And he's taking an insane number of other hits. It's not just his knee.
Which, by the way, I'm not an RG3 fan. I don't like the Redskins, but they need to... There was a play where Alden Smith basically picked him up and planted him in the ground. That would have easily been a roughing the passer against the Tom Brady's Peyton and even regular quarterbacks, and they didn't call it.
And I think part of it is being a read option quarterback, you lose the benefit of the doubt on the personal foul calls.
Here's my thing with that, not to digress too much, but here's my issue with that rule. So you're telling me if a quote unquote quarterback, in this case, a read option quarterback, that shouldn't really matter in my eyes. If a quarterback is handing the ball off in the shotgun, that means any quarterback making a shotgun handoff should be allowed to get blown up. Guess what will happen if that ever happens to Peyton Manning, who hands the ball out of the shotgun all the time? Tom Brady, too.
Yeah, I'm just telling
you. Just because the ref doesn't perceive a threat to run?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not saying it makes sense or it's the right way to call it. I'm just telling you that's the way it goes. I mean, if you run the read option as a quarterback, you're going to take more hits and you're not going to get the benefit of those.
There was even a play against the Chiefs where Alex Smith got completely blown up on a handoff and they called a personal foul. So he's a read option quarterback, but he's white. Does that have something to do with it?
I don't think any of these. Half the refs are black.
No,
he's seen as a. I think it's more just RG3 okay, so seen as a running quarterback.
I know, but if Nick Foles gets blown up,
he's not seen as a running quarterback.
But he's held the ball in the read option before. So how can you handle
I don't think Nick Foles gets. I mean, that's a separate issue, but I don't think Nick Foles gets calls because he's not a high profile.
No, but all I'm saying is the second. What is perceived as a threat to run the read option? Keeping it once? Or do you ever have to keep it at all? Because isn't that the point of that play, is you can fake it and then pass it or run it?
Yeah, no, I mean, I get it.
You see what I'm saying? I mean,
I'm just telling you that's the way the refs aren't going to
No, and I know. I'm saying it's an insanely flawed piece of the equation. So, yeah, RG3's taking a lot of extra hits, but I think some of it's kind of unfair. I mean, I'm very surprised that wasn't a. I was watching the game and I saw Aldon Smith like take two steps, then hit him, pick him up, and drive him into the ground. And the ref just looked at him. It was right in front of the referee, and he didn't do anything. And I was like, oh, all right. That seemed like if that was Drew Brees the week before, there would have been a fine.
Yeah, but it's tough. It's tough to be an advocate for more personal fouls. I mean, this week again, we saw just so many. Even the Jets punter diving at the. I mean, quote unquote, diving at the guy's knee on the return, and he like barely hits his calf leg, calf muscle, or whatever, his shin, and they're calling a personal foul on it. These personal foul calls are really throwing off the speed of the game, and it's getting insane. All right, Ryan,
I think something needs to be adjusted with the severity of the penalty because look. Back in the day, you wanted to prevent people from basically trying to kill each other. Now, personal foul has turned into a little bit less of a thing.
They're throwing personal fouls like holding penalties with the same consistency.
Well, that's my point. I understand they wanted to take judgment out of the game, but like same with the face mask, right? There used to be a 5-yard and a 15-yard. Now, you graze a guy's helmet, or you graze a guy's calf block, going low, and it's a 15-yarder. I know you're trying to prevent bad stuff from happening, but you're also altering the game a lot more.
All right, Ryan. New Orleans Saints went into Atlanta. I liked Atlanta.
Yeah.
I think you were on Atlanta as well.
Well, we no-brainer, right?
Yeah. It's too high, 9.5. Both got on that. Atlanta covered. It was 17-13. I knew it was going to be a bad week when I didn't hit this. I put a little money on the prop, adjusted game spread of Atlanta +3.5. I told you, it was going back and forth with you. I'm like, this is going to be a field goal game. I can feel it. And you're like, it feels like a 4-7 point game. I'm like, nah, I think a field goal is good here. Atlanta's going to show up a little bit. They're going to lose on a last second field goal. 17-13, Atlanta's driving down. So Atlanta was in the game earlier, and they drove down for a potential win, fumbled it. Okay, fine, I got screwed there. They got the ball back, drove down again, got stopped around the 30. Now it's 4th-and-15 with like 2 minutes and 15 seconds. So it's surprising that they even went for a field goal.
Yeah, you're lucky Mike Smith's a complete retard when it comes to the game situation.
Well, it's not that bad. I mean, they had over 2 minutes, so they would have had the 2-minute warning and 3 timeouts. So if they hit this field goal, all they needed was another field goal, which is kind of reasonable.
Yeah, but it's the whole argument of you're in a one-score game, and all you're doing is putting yourself in a one-score game again and giving the other team the ball. That's the argument why you don't do it. You're not actually changing your scenario. All you're doing is giving up the ball.
Okay, but look at it from this way. What's more likely, converting the 4th-and-15 and going in for a score and winning the game?
Or making a 55-yard field goal or whatever it was?
It was a 52-yarder, and he had hit 8 in a row from that distance. I know because they mentioned that right.
Yeah,
before
so that I mean, honestly, I bet I would be willing to bet that the field goal is a higher percentage, but if you look at the actual expected win percentage, I think it actually goes down if you attempt that field goal. Even if you make it, your chance of winning the game goes down because you're giving up the ball.
Yeah, I guess All right.
But for your sake, it was
regardless,
a good decision.
He went for the field goal. He hit it. And then, of course, there was the timeout that the guy had been iced.
Yep.
Kicks it again, misses it, and costs me that plus.
By the way, how is Smirnoff Ice not cashed in on that marketing ploy right there? Every time someone ices a kicker, it's a this icing of the kicker is brought to you by Smirnoff Ice.
Well, and even their whole, you know, that whole icing your bro thing, they never got on that. I think maybe it's because it encourages the guy to chug a Smirnoff Ice.
You don't have to include that portion of it.
I don't know. I'm just.
I mean, look, Pepsi shows people tailgating with Pepsi. You don't have to be completely accurate in all your commercials.
Yeah, me and my bros tailgating with Pepsi.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Next up on the slate, Pittsburgh Steelers went to Cleveland. Steelers 1.5 2-point dogs. Won outright, 27-11. Felt pretty good about this Pittsburgh team. Liked it. Yeah, it just felt like they were kind of getting hot. Roethlisberger playing well. And this Cleveland team, I had no faith in.
Feels like it's a good time to maybe fade Pittsburgh.
You feel like they've...
I feel like they're on like one of the least impressive win streaks where they're blowing teams out ever. I mean, especially if you include what happened to them in the second half versus the Patriots. I think it's one of those smoke and mirrors. They're running up the score a little bit to make, you know, so perception is that they're just, I mean, honestly, that Cleveland game, what, after a half, it was 3-3. Pittsburgh kind of stretched it out. And, oh, by the way, Cleveland sucks, and they lost their quarterback. So I don't know what to think about. I think Pittsburgh still has some holes. I think maybe the argument is their defense has improved, and maybe that's part of the key to why they're winning.
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh for me is right in that middle zone where they got Roethlisberger. If they don't turn it over, their defense is kind of okay. I'll think of maybe playing them as a small favorite, small dog.
They have to be going against inferior talent, though. I don't really want to play them against a team that I perceive to be on their level. Or now, if they're playing a team on their level or slightly above, they better be getting at least three on the road. So,
all right,
just saying.
Tampa Bay Bucks at Detroit, another surprisingly high spread. We were both on the Bucks here as well. Tampa Bay getting 9 points in Detroit, won outright, 24-21. Calvin Johnson got butterfingers on the final drive there, and don't look now. Tampa Bay playing for Shiano's job.
No, I think Tampa Bay is playing for themselves.
Yeah, they're playing for their own job. And I think I've been talking him up. Mike Glennon, not a bad quarterback. I think maybe you're looking at a Tampa Bay team. If they would have had Glennon from game one, maybe.
Again, he's a rookie, though, and it takes time.
Right.
He's just kind of rounding into shape here in week 11 to where he's a, you know, tolerable quarterback.
Well, I'm saying they probably wouldn't have been 0-8. They maybe would have been 2-6.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows, though? I mean, you could also argue that maybe he would just be as bad and it was going to take him 10 weeks regardless. Now, the chances of them sneaking one out, sure. But, I don't know. I mean, it certainly seems appealing to want to bet on these bad teams, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're not going to adjust the spreads, then, there's a lot of value there. Minnesota at Green Bay. Horrible, horrible game. Green Bay rallied to send it into overtime. Did not go for it on 4th-and-2 in overtime. Ended up with a tie, 26-26. Minnesota was getting 4.5 points. I think I picked, I had Green Bay here on the podcast, but this was a definite stay away for me. Either team is hard for me to really put serious cash behind at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're from Minnesota. Maybe they thought they'd get a point for the draw, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for me, this was most irritating because for some reason it was the Fox National game in most of the country, I'm assuming, since it was out here in L.A. And instead of cutting over to a game that, based on betting and every other measurable, was a bigger game, the Giants versus the Cowboys. No, let's just stick around and show you the whole overtime. And I'm sitting there, it's like, normally game goes to overtime, you're like, whatever, it's going to be over in 10 minutes. No, full 15-minute quarter gets played.
They took advantage of the new overtime rules, which allowed you to each get a field goal.
Each team did score in overtime, which, I mean, that was a first in the NFL, I'm guessing. For first time each team has scored and the game still ends in a tie.
Yeah, it's got to be.
I don't know. I mean, we were talking a little before the podcast about Aaron Rodgers' value to the Packers, and I feel like I've been on the Packers two out of the 3 weeks. Well, no, all 3 weeks. I was on them against the Eagles, Giants, and this last game against who the fuck did they just play? The Vikings. So I feel like I just keep losing, betting on the Packers, thinking that they've adjusted the line too much. But I keep being wrong, and I'm most likely going to just continue to keep my head down and go with that because I find it hard. And having Matt Flynn back, probably an upgrade over Tolzien, who, God, these coaches are so arrogant, thinking they can carry these project backup quarterbacks. And it's like one of our buddies is always screaming about how is Vince Young not in the league as a backup. And at a point, I think coaches are too much really trying to do the Belichick, Andy Reid thing where you draft a guy in the sixth round, keep him around, have him play a couple snaps and show that he's worth a second rounder. And, maybe those guys aren't quite the coaches that Andy Reid and Bill Belichick are. So it's like, I mean, even when these guys leave, though, it's like you got to start questioning when Andy Reid's like, hey, man, you want my backup? And all you have to do, like any GM that ever trades Andy Reid or Bill Belichick for a backup quarterback again, should just simply put on the tape of Kevin Cobb and Matt Castle. That's all you should do and be like, yeah, you know what? No thanks. I'm good.
Ryan Mallett, I would give him a chance.
But why?
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't trade much for him, but the guy seemed like he had some potential.
He's tall. He's a statue. He has drug issues. He's got some question marks.
Sounds like a quarterback.
He was good in college.
I'd trade a six-rounder for him.
Yeah, but he's going to go from – I don't know. It's kind of like in baseball when Tampa Bay trades someone. You know that the other team's getting hosed. It's just certain guys, you just stay away.
All right, Ryan. San Diego Chargers went into Kansas City getting 4.5 points. I thought Kansas City would rebound after they lost to Denver. Shootout in old KC. Didn't see this coming. Chargers pulled it out 41-38. It's weird. Chargers are a good team, but they just I picked against them just because they seem like such a snake-bitten team this year. I couldn't really – I guess 4.5 was a little too high. They got the outright win against Kansas City, and Kansas City losing two in a row.
Yeah, I was mad at myself after this one. I mean, clearly a sandwich situation for both the Patriots and the Chiefs with them playing each other in 2 or 3 weeks. And even I picked them in the pick'em, and I didn't feel good about it. I knew it was the wrong side. I just had a feeling.
Well, I just felt good again. It just felt good to go against San Diego because of the way they keep getting screwed. And
yeah,
it felt like last year or last week was kind of the end of their season. But
I get mad at myself when I play. I like to think that I'm my strongest ability when it comes to handicapping football games is situational stuff. And I always get bummed out when I'm aware of a situation and I just kind of ignore it for other reasons.
Yeah.
And this was a case where even when the line got down to 3 and I bet it, as soon as the game started, I was like, this is not a good play.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Look, they shouldn't have been like it's another situation. Just don't take this Chiefs teams when they're laying more than a field goal. You know, like it seems so simple, it's stupid, but they're not a team that's going to stretch out a lead. And I'm a little surprised they gave up the lead at the end the way San Diego won. I mean, we almost did get a lucky cover if you had the 3, in my opinion, but. You know, San Diego's got I think the players still like Rivers, and you're starting to see it. Look, Philip Rivers was at his best when he had Darren Sproles. They've seemingly replaced
Woodhead.
Darren Sproles. Rivers throws a great wheel route. He kind of that soft touch is kind of works with that with those
receivers.
It is
funny, him and Breeze, in the same way Breeze now needs Sproles, they Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if there's any sort of connection there. But having that outlet guy, that little dude, that guy you can hit that nice dump off to, that can turn 0 yards into 5 yards wherever you get him the ball, is a huge asset.
It seems like they finally figured out how to use Danny Woodhead. So, yeah, I don't know. This Chargers team is an interesting team. I'm not necessarily looking to – I think they just were fortunate of a good situation in this spot.
Yep. Okay, Chicago Bears went into St. Louis. I think we both felt pretty good about this St. Louis team at home, Ryan. Their defense playing very well.
I think we talked about it. It was like a just that defensive line on turf versus the Bears offensive line just felt like a good matchup. And
Tavon Austin, another big play. And Rams rolled 42-21.
How dumb must Tavon Austin be that he can only get like 15 snaps a game on offense and he's that good? It's like,
well, it was weird. I felt like they were going out of their way in the beginning of the season to try to get him the ball. I know because I had him in fantasy and he'd be getting a lot of touches and targets and just not doing anything.
It's weird because he's,
he doesn't strike me as a bright individual, but I think it was just a confidence thing or something. But once he got, I think it was against the Titans.
But even now, he's not that game, that huge game where he had the punt return and the two. He played 11 snaps on offense. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, how, when you're a team like the Rams, how do you not play your most explosive players?
Yeah, but I think they were playing him more, and he wasn't doing anything. Yeah, I don't know. Miami Dolphins at home against Carolina, they lost, but got the cover. Well, this is a classic depending on where you got the line. I think it closed at 4.5, so Miami got the cover there. But there were definitely 3.5s to be had early in the week. So depending on where you got that there. This felt like a bad spot for Carolina. Yep. That's why I like Miami. Not a great game for Carolina, kind of what you'd expect. Kind of playing flat. And just nice game-winning drive by Cam Newton. I mean, this is a game, you know, that shows that they really have taken the next step as a team, winning these kind of non-conference road games that are easy to overlook.
I'm not going to follow up on that. I just heard you compliment Cam Newton.
No, listen.
Sean, I don't know if you realize this, but they cannot finish below 500 this year, so you will have to concede your hate for Cam Newton forever.
Hey, I said if they finish over 500, I'll hop on the Cam train.
They're gonna. I will say this: it's shaping up much like in the AFC that one of the wild cards is going to have a substantially better record than the other wild card. But man, can you imagine being the 4 seed and having to play Carolina or New Orleans potentially? I mean, that's,
oh yeah.
That's going to be a tough out for whoever gets that. I mean, obviously, you'd almost rather have, in a weird kind of way, you almost rather Carolina wins the division and New Orleans has to be that wild card that has to go on the road. Because think about it, you're
especially
Philly,
if you're a cold weather team.
Let's say you're Philly, you got a home game. I'd rather see the Saints come in the link than Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, from the standpoint of Carolina's defense,
Carolina's is more poised to be a cold weather team. They run the ball well and they play hard defense.
Yeah, and then you got Cam Newton who can make some athletic plays. I think, yeah, you're right. Maybe the Eagles would match up better against the Saints.
Nice
team.
Windy day against
but
Drew
it's,
Brees.
It's but it's tough to. I mean, either way, that's going to be a tough
matchup.
I mean,
I remember 2 years ago when the Saints and 49ers were playing that epic game. All I could think about was, man, I really hope the 49ers win because I'd much rather the Giants have to travel to San Francisco than go to New Orleans. So I just think it's one of those things. Like, to get New Orleans out of a home field spot would be huge.
Agreed, Ryan. New York Jets went into Baltimore. Close your eyes special, although they weren't the home team. That's when it really gets to Lock City, but still a pretty strong trend.
Wow.
Not enough. Baltimore 19, Jets 3. And I know this sounds crazy, but that Jets defense played an okay game to kind of a decent game against – I mean, the Ravens' offense isn't anything special, but they were not letting the Ravens run the ball. Granted, the Ravens got a couple deep plays, but my God, the Jets could not do anything on offense.
And you saw what's happening, Sean. The Ravens are being smart in one of two ways. They're starting to play Tyrod Taylor because they realize he's better than Joe Flacco. Or – they're starting to play Tyrod Taylor because the league's changing and they realize they might have a nice trade chip in the offseason. I believe he's coming up near the end of his contract. And he could be one of those backup quarterbacks that goes to a team that wants to run that type of deal.
Yeah, I don't know if he could be a starter in the league successfully, but why not have him as a change of pace guy? I think it's just because it pisses off your franchise quarterback.
He's better than – I mean, he didn't get drafted as high, but just straight up from having the it factor. I watched him 4 years in college. He's the greatest player I've ever watched play at Virginia Tech. He has the leadership.
What?
He's the greatest overall player.
He's better than Michael Vick at Virginia Tech?
Yeah, four-year starter. I mean, Vic was the greatest athlete I've ever – greatest sheer, like, spectacle I've ever watched. But in terms of leadership and ability to talk and kind of having the total package, just – look, he was the true leader of that team. I don't know if Michael Vick might have fallen in that category like RG3 where he was the captain because he was the quarterback. This kid can play, and look, and one of the things he shocked everyone with is that how quick his release was, how good his arm was in the combine and things like that. So don't – I mean, look, is he better than Blaine Gabbert? You're damn straight he is. He's better than a lot – is he better than Terrell Pryor? Probably.
It is weird, though, but does that matter? I feel like
– yeah. Does he – he needs to fall into a situation like Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Russell Wilson gets taken by almost any other team. He's never a starting quarterback, even if he's the better player. He's cheaper. He was drafted in a later round. Who knows? So, I don't know.
Kudos
to get a shot.
Kudos to Pete Carroll for
playing the
guy. A lot of coaches wouldn't want to play the better quarterback.
Well, it's a pride thing too. You just signed Matt Flynn and spent all this money.
Yeah,
you're willing to swallow your pride and admit you're wrong.
$5-6 million mistake.
Yeah, well, I think it was $8 million, right? Like, yeah. So that's pretty
ballsy.
Matt
Flynn got paid.
That's pretty ballsy. But all I'm saying is look out for Tyrod. I mean, what will probably happen just to punish me is that Chip Kelly's going to grab
him. He'd be great in Chip Kelly's system. Yeah. Quick relief. But Nick Foles, it's hard to get away from that guy right now. Jacksonville Jaguars at Houston, my upset special. 10-point dogs. Ka-ching. Jacksonville 13, Houston 6. Ryan, I just hit back-to-back upset specials against Houston. Both were huge. One was a 9-point, and the other one's a 10-point. What's going on? Why is there still so much love for the Texans?
I'm mostly just shocked that you bet on Jacksonville.
Well, you got to go, what's not to like there?
Yeah, just you repeating the phrase, I will never bet on Jacksonville. I will never bet on Jacksonville.
Well, but at some point, it was, again, these past 2 weeks, it was more just a play against Houston.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know what people are seeing with this Houston.
There's no reason. It's just one of those plays. Forget Jacksonville is even in the game. At the state of the Houston Texans, should they be laying more than a touch? You know, if this line's 6.5, you got to think a little bit more. Makes a lot more for me. But
yeah.
when it was at 7 and then all the way up to 10, it's like, what are they thinking? What are they thinking?
As much shit as I've given Jacksonville, rightfully so, this team is a decidedly better team on the road. I don't. Why is everyone ignoring that?
I don't know. They're coming up
with these lines.
I don't know. I think they're just. I mean, I think in that case, it was a clear overrating of Houston. But yeah, I also agree with you that they do seem to perform better on the road, and part of that is we talked about it. It could be that just, you know, they play the same on the road and at home. They just get more points on the road, or it could be they're ready for the booze.
Yeah, but how is Houston? And you were also bringing up the theory of maybe when they are on the road, these home teams are looking past them.
Sure.
But is that the case with Houston? Is Houston looking past?
I think
anyone?
What you have in the case, and this has been discussed. It's kind of that whole, you know, how can we put Tampa and Jacksonville and Houston and Atlanta and all these bad teams in the same bucket? You know, do people quit in the NFL? But some of the best points I've heard on this topic is, you know, look, the teams with expectations, maybe they're quitting. Maybe there's a little letdown in effort. You know, is Tony Gonzalez playing as hard as he can? Is Andre Johnson playing as hard as he can? Versus you have these younger teams, Jacksonville, Tampa, that weren't supposed to be good in the first place, and they've kind of come into their own, and they're playing hard, and people still don't believe it. And if anything, it kind of the reverse happens with the Atlanta and the Houstons of the world, where people want to hold on to this team from the past a little too long.
Yeah.
And
these guys who are just methodically adjusting their power rankings aren't adjusting and quick
think
enough.
For the sake of this argument, you almost have to throw out the Saints-Falcons game because it really was their last hurrah. It's their big rival. It's a home game. It's Thursday night. I wouldn't expect to see an effort like that from Atlanta the rest of the season. I certainly am not going to be looking to bet Atlanta unless I'm getting an absurd amount of points. But it's interesting, and I think Houston's also a great example of a team that continues to look appealing on paper. And in almost every game, if not every
game.
Well,
and also, and with the public bettors or just with people who watch a little bit more casually, they saw Case Keenum light it up in that first half against the Colts. And yeah. They heard the Sunday night announcers anointing him as the next guy. And, oh, my God, Texas is rallying around this Case Keenum. But if you watch him in the following games, and
yeah.
He does not look nearly as good.
Well, there is something chemistry-wise wrong with that team. I mean, you can't continue to just outgain teams and just make so many mistakes that you lose. It's just,
yeah, number one in passing yards defense. I think number one in passing yards allowed and number one in overall defensive yards. They're number one league right now in defense, 290 yep. yards per game.
I mean, you're seeing a lot of and maybe that's why we need to start looking more at the advanced metrics. Now, I don't know if that helps with Houston, but, like, again, Washington. Washington's the number one running team in the league.
Yeah. The Eagles are right up there as well.
But, no, my point is that Washington, maybe they're the number one running team. They're still a pile of shit.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of these old school, just raw stats might not be as useful as they once were.
I still think yards per attempt, obviously.
Yards per attempt is a great one.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think it gets enough run on, like, ESPN and stuff like that.
Well, look, they just got to OPS, and some of these, you know, they're getting there.
And
we created our own stat, QBR.
Which I think it's a lot better than QB rate.
I agree. I don't think they created it, though. But they seem to want to take credit for it.
All right, Ryan. Oakland Raiders at home against the Titans. Ooh, man.
Whatever.
This was a weird game. We both had the Raiders here. It really could have gone either way.
Yeah. But, Sean, we watched this. This game was on in entirety, and I honestly couldn't tell you two things that happened in this game.
No.
I
could not look at it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think both these teams are. I'm a little surprised Tennessee won the game. Ryan pulled some Fitz magic out of his hat, but I don't know. I wouldn't really downgrade either team. I like both these teams in particular
certain
spots.
Situations. I can play these.
Well, they're
teams.
Both teams that will continue to get potentially, you know, touchdown or more.
And they're
road.
On the fringe of being in the playoff
well,
consideration.
Well, Tennessee more so than that, but. And look, the way that Indy's playing, Tennessee is in the mix.
Well, speaking of Indy, Ryan, they're next up. I went big on Indy. Big mistake. In Arizona, getting 2.5. I got it at 3. Thought I got a great deal. Arizona Cardinals, 40. Indianapolis Colts, 11. This is really it was a Sophie's choice for me, Ryan, because I was a big backer of Arizona yeah. early on. But even I thought Carson Palmer is due for a bad game. And, man, just watching that game, having Indy was insanely yeah. frustrating, A, because of just how horrible the Indy defense is playing. And Carson Palmer was just lofting these balls up. They were getting pressure on him. He was just chucking them up and completing passes. It was tough for me to make sense of this game.
We talked about it before. How much is Bruce Arians going to be a factor?
Right. And this is a classic situation where I kind of overlooked some information that I didn't. I was factoring, you know, hey, my gut was talking to me and said, keep riding this Andrew Luck guy.
I mean, why? It just annoys me so much how this Indy team is just trying to make Andrew Luck look bad. They're trying their best to just fail for him. It's just he played such a great game and they still managed to lose. So frustrating. So frustrating. Maybe not a Hall of Famer, Andrew Luck. Maybe not a Hall of Famer quite yet. I mean, seriously. I don't think I've heard any negative talk about Andrew Luck after that game, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, he played a horrible game.
It fascinates me how he's able to skirt like the horrible play angle. Because another game we watched in entirety, Sean, and boy, he made some throws that were just not that pick six. Ooh, that was bad.
He made some bad plays. Did not look good.
I would go as far to say he didn't really make any good plays.
Well, again, he's in that sophomore slump phase, but I think he gets, now some of this is deservedly so, he gets a lot of credit for these kind of miraculous comebacks on big stages.
How did they beat Denver, San Francisco?
That's what I'm saying. He's come up in big games. Now, this is a non-conference road game where we should have factored that in more. At least I'm kicking myself for not factoring that in more. The Bruce Arians aspect, for me, this was just a play against Carson Palmer. It wasn't so much a play against the Colts. I just did not think Carson Palmer and the Arizona offense was capable of putting up 40 points. Granted, they got some help from their defense, but I was surprised at
very
Arizona's
much so.
Output.
Underperformed by 21 also. I doubt they're getting points this week, though.
We will see, Ryan. Oh, Dallas Cowboys went in to New York where they beat the Giants 24-21. We both had the Giants here.
I mean, the game came down to that the Victor Cruz fumble return for a touchdown that we didn't get to see live, thanks to Fox. But
well, I know you're bummed out you missed that, right?
At the end of the day, that was the game. I mean, it was a pretty tight game.
Classic division game.
Romo came up big with the final drive, which is a shocker. Probably doesn't do that at home.
Now, Cousin Sal had this theory. Cousin Sal, the Bill Simmons podcast, had this theory that when the Giants tied it up with that two-point conversion, in a weird way, they almost would have been better not getting it. Because then Dallas's play calling would have been a lot more conservative.
They would have gotten the ball back.
And they would have gotten the ball back, kicked the field goal, won the game 22-21.
I was surprised they didn't try to go to Miles Austin more earlier in the game. I mean, the Giants were doing everything they could to not let Dez Bryant get the ball. It made sense.
What did not make sense, Ryan, is how the New England Patriots pulled out a miraculous victory against the Denver Broncos. I like the Patriots going into this game. I think you liked them as well.
I loved them.
You got to love the Patriots coming off a straight-up loss, which was, even though on a short week, they're in cold weather. Denver, everything was setting up for a Patriots solid win. That was not the case leading up into the halftime where Broncos were up 24-0. New England came storming back for an OT victory, 34-31.
Well, here's the thing, Sean, and I rarely tweet out halftime bets, but as soon as that game was coming near the half, all I could think about is, I mean, how do you not take the Patriots second half? Because I think the big thing for me was, I don't know if you watched the first half, Sean.
I didn't catch a lot of this game.
But Peyton Manning didn't look good. And granted, it was cold weather. People are going to fumble more in cold weather. But there were a lot of fumbles, too. Denver was very beneficial of those fumbles in the first half, including returning one for a touchdown. But I think the big thing was, for me, it was Peyton just didn't play well. And Brady kind of had moments. But, you know, a fumble would completely blow up the situation. So I took a little of the second half, which turned out to be the easiest bet in the history of betting. But I think the biggest anomaly of the game is that it was a total – I had the over. And all this stuff happened in the first half. I'm like, wow, this is great. It's a lock. But, man, that game was not – it didn't have the feel of an over game. It was a weird game. And like I said, when it got to halftime 24-0, it just felt like I didn't think the Patriots were going to come back and win, to be honest with you, obviously. But it did feel like it was going to end up being like a 31-21 game.
Where it got a little...
Yeah, closer. And, you know, I think it was a touchdown, turnover touchdown stretch that New England scored in like twice in like, you know, 5 minutes. And that was kind of the turning point.
I was actually at the Lakers game, Ryan. I went to the Lakers game, had a good time. I'd never been to a Lakers game before. They played against
really?
The Kings. Yeah, I'd only gone to Clippers games. And my first Lakers game, sat up there.
It's more of an event.
Yeah, a little bit more of a spectacle. Although I haven't seen the Clippers recently. I
mean, the Clippers, the difference is like, it's almost like rich versus poor. You go to a Laker game, it's very organized. They have this very like, you know, the pregame is just like there's regular music playing. People are warming up, whatever.
Yeah.
They announce the people. It's very like traditional. You go to a Clipper game and the DJ is like blaring all this like twerk music and like just it was.
Well, I think they're trying to create something different with the Clippers.
No, no, no. I know, but it's like a total like, you know, it's like one you're going to someone's house party like in Beverly Hills, and the other you're going to a block party in Compton or something. You know,
Ryan, real quick, I got the tickets using Score Big, and I've used Score Big a few times. It's great. It's actually a pretty good site for getting game tickets. You just bid on how much you're willing to pay, and then they tell you either whether you're going to get accepted or denied. Pretty simple. If you get denied, you can just try the next day. They are actually – I was going to pass this on to the listeners here. If you click through the Score Big link on our website, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, they have two separate promos going during Black Friday. You can enter either Holidays 30 – and you get $30 off an order of $110 more, or Holidays 50. You get $50 off any order of $225. So,
oh,
pretty solid hookup there. And the tickets are legit. You get them delivered FedEx. And especially, like, there's a whole science to it, like figuring out when is a good time to bid and whatever. But you can get pretty good deals on the tickets.
Well, real quick, Sean, you brought the Lakers.
Yes.
I feel like we would
oh, wait,
not
quick,
be.
Quick side note, the Kings. Team you just want to fade. Did not see any effort from the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, when DeMarcus Cousins is your leader, you're in trouble. But the Lakers.
He did get into it and almost got in a fight.
We wouldn't be doing any justice to anyone if we didn't discuss the great move the Lakers just made, giving Kobe Bryant $25 million a year for 2 years.
Locking him
after
up.
His contract ends after next season.
Oh, so, yeah. I thought it was after it ended this year.
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's two more on top of the – I could be wrong. Either way.
Basically securing that they won't have any other room.
The Lakers have just shown the entire league how not to manage a professional basketball team. Anyway.
Well, they were talking about it. They could have worked out a deal where he got money or he got, like, a reduced salary, but they kind of, like, dangled out some – part of ownership or some basically kind of hooked him up after he retired and worked out something that way. And I guess to Kobe's credit, he didn't negotiate on it. They just offered it to him. He accepted.
Well, look, I don't fault Kobe for taking what's given, but it kind of cements his legacy as being a guy that doesn't want help. He either wants to do it on his own, his way, or
yeah, but
not
he does
do
want help because he was ready. He was ready to get a trade out of L.A. before they got Gasol.
Yeah, but if you want help, why do you take up all of your team's money?
Yeah, but I guess that is tough to ask a guy
put anyone in the same situation, they'll be like, oh, okay, I'll take the money.
Yeah, but Jordan played for a lot less. He would play for a couple million.
Okay, you're right. It's through the 2015-2016 season.
Either way.
No, but it's also that weird dilemma where you can't let him go anywhere else.
I mean, Jerry Buss said he's probably worth $60 million a year to the Lakers.
If not more.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you're not really looking to go over the salary cap, so you can't really – that works better in baseball. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant, for our era, are kind of the guys that you don't – I mean, even as not a non-Laker fan, I don't want to see Kobe play for anyone else.
No, it wouldn't be as fun to hate him.
Anyway.
Kevin Love, though, going to L.A. Good sources on that.
Russell Westbrook and Love reuniting in L.A. Both
oh,
UCLA
Russell
Bruins.
Westbrook?
No, I'm just making that up. Anyway, quick recap.
Ryan. Monday Night Affair.
Sorry.
We both liked San Francisco just because, I mean, it's tough to go against a Monday Night home dog just instinctively, even though the numbers show that the Monday Night home dog trend's vastly overrated. In fact, it's better to play against it.
I think over the last, like, 5 years, you want to play against that. It's like, it's an old wives' tale at this point.
Yeah, just instinctively, you feel like the team's going to show up.
Well, you feel like there's value there because there typically is value on a dog, especially a
home dog. Yeah, they'll show up.
But,
I mean, this Washington team, it's hard to pick them right now. And we're luckily both on the San Francisco side, laying 5.5, and they covered pretty easily.
Sean,
they didn't look great, 27-6.
Don't know if you saw what I tweeted out, Sean, but I suggested that our listeners jump on San Francisco first half. First half under, full game under, bet it straight, parlay it, do whatever you want, tease it, everything hit. Although I will say my takeaway from the game is I don't want to lay a lot of points with San Francisco. Because this, like you said, this Washington team's horrible, and the scoreboard. I mean, San Francisco had maybe 10 good offensive plays all night, I think. So I just, Colin Kaepernick is not, there's not enough press about how bad he looks this year. Bottom line.
I feel like he's been getting some heat. But yeah.
Not enough. I mean, because he, I want to say he's 32nd in the NFL in yards per game passing.
He does not look good. He looks very rigid. It's weird.
Anyway, Sean, quick recap of the pick'em.
Let's do it.
Not much changing of the chop. G Luna, 89. I Am a Genius, 88. Zimzum Not Dumb, also 88. And tied for fourth, The Heartbeat, 84. And E White, 84. So a little separation at the top. I continue to climb up the leaderboard, Sean. Up to 15th, tied with you with 79.
Well, I forgot to put my picks in last week.
That's
I apologize.
Just, yep. Yep. You're like a real-life Houston Texans.
I'm phoning it in after I didn't meet expectations.
Yep. And league heads, first place. Not much change in there either, Sean. 10-1.
Business
yours truly. Followed up with the real league heads and Bad Horse tied for second. So, hey, man, playoffs right around the corner.
Playoffs?
Shit's getting real.
That it is, Ryan. That it is.
All right. So, no lines are final, Sean. We'll go off the Las Vegas hotel lines as of right now.
Early in the week.
Just saying, the contest lines have not solidified yet, so there could be some change. But starting out Thursday morning, like you said, 9:30 Pacific time kick. Green Bay always gets stuck. Doesn't it feel like it's Green Bay, Detroit, a lot of Thanksgivings? Green Bay heads to Detroit, where Green Bay is getting 6. The total's 50. We talked about this earlier. I like Matt Flynn over Tolzien. I think it's an upgrade. I think this team has enough. I'm going to take the points here.
I'm going to take Detroit. I like Detroit. I think they come back strong. I think having that home game, back-to-back home games on that Thursday is going to be helpful.
They're coming off a bad loss, too.
And I think... Yeah, I think they're going to rebound. And I think Green Bay's defense, everyone's blaming the offense, but I think really Green Bay's defense has been exposed pretty good. And I think Detroit will have a nice day at home. Stafford against Flint.
Yeah, this is a game I wish it wasn't on Thanksgiving more. Hopefully I sleep in and don't get a chance to bet on this one. Odds are I could be driving to Vegas during this game too. So got to have a little action for the radio. Next up, Sean. Our Dallas Cowgirls host the Oakland Raiders. Raiders getting 9.5 right now. Some offshore books have it up as high as 10. The Hilton or the hotel, Las Vegas hotel offering 9.5. Yeah, give me the points. Bottom line, I don't like the Cowboys in big spread games. I don't like them laying big points.
And I don't like the Cowboys coming off a win. I feel like the times. That's why I'm kicking myself for not taking them against the Giants. They seem to be a very alternating team as far as when they're going to cover or not. Although they are 8-3 against the spread, I like Oakland to cover here.
Even more reason to bet against the Cowboys.
Exactly.
Too much value. Public, it's a national TV game.
So, yeah, I'd wait till it gets closer to kickoff. I bet that can get up to 10.
Well, here's the way you look at it.
Square money moving the things.
Are you really losing much from going 9.5 to 8.5? No, but... You're gaining a lot more going 9.5 to 10, 10.5. So,
yeah, so wait,
I think it's worth waiting. I think it wouldn't surprise me if this line continues to go up. Sean, it's a Thanksgiving tradition. Pittsburgh versus Baltimore. The line's 3, as it should be, as it always should be. This is one of the things in my in the manifesto, Sean. When Baltimore plays Pittsburgh, you take the points.
Exactly.
Part of me was hoping this was 2.5 so I could take Baltimore because I don't feel great about Pittsburgh right now. But I don't know. It is -3 even money, so it's getting close to a 2.5 situation. So I think what I'll do is I'll look to play Baltimore. I might even buy it with Baltimore.
I like Pittsburgh here getting 3
yeah,
points.
The rule is
they always, like you said, always play close games. In the past 10 games, there's only
yeah,
been
you know
one.
What? Let's just take Pittsburgh. Fuck
it's
it.
It's only been one Although, time when it, the spread – it's only been one time in the past 10 games where it's been higher than 7.
I think this is a game that it could potentially be a game that you can win either side just to get the best of the number. So if I'm – Honestly, if I'm looking to play this, I'll either play Baltimore minus 2.5 or wait for that Baltimore money to come in and take Pittsburgh plus 3.5. I don't buy for the win, Sean.
I like it.
All right, moving to Sunday. Big AFC South showdown. Andrew Luck and the Fighting Greens host Tennessee Titans. I like this spot. I like this spot for Tennessee. I think Chuck Pagano kind of showed some colors the other day by saying that his team needs to hide their weaknesses and accentuate their strengths. No shit, Sherlock. Instinct is play the team that's coming off the bad blowout, but I don't think they adjusted the line much. I don't know what the look-ahead line was, but doesn't it seem like this line was not adjusted much? Indy's still laying 4.5. It's in that Vegas zone. I don't know. I would have preferred. Honestly, I thought the line was going to be 3.
Yeah, I think at 3, I'm thinking
Chris
Indy.
Johnson's running hard.
Yeah, like you said, Tennessee's got a fighting chance. I'll take them 4.5 points in a division game. Look, Indy hasn't shown lately that they can cover any sort of spread, really.
Can I officially change my pick? Andrew Luck's surely going to catch wind of this and try to impress you to win you back.
I'm a score. He got me good. So Andrew Luck can suck my dick.
Whoa.
I'll take the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
He burned me good.
Yep. Well, there's plenty of room on the cam wagon.
Hell hath no fury like a burned gambler. So give me the Tennessee Titans. it's a revenge game for me.
All right. Denver. In that sandwich situation we were talking about, Denver now heading to Kansas City to play their second game in 3 weeks. I figured this would be 3.5. That's where it opened at 3.5. It's now up to 4.5. I didn't see this before when we were talking off air. You got to play the Chiefs. Got to play the Chiefs here. This is the biggest game. They looked ahead. Look, Denver's coming off a very bad loss, which I think will stick with them, but because of how they lost, it was a road game, cross country,
cold weather.
Now Peyton's going to Kansas City in arguably the biggest game that Kansas City has hosted in some years. Could be the ticket to a bye, not have to be a 5 seed, and you're getting 4.5. I like it. I like it a lot.
I
do think the first game felt like the score was a little bit not indicative of how the game went. So I'm gonna take the home dog here, big time. Sean, your Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, not getting any respect in Cleveland, the juggernaut Bears or Browns, who will be starting who this week, Sean?
It appears to be Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon, who, as far as decision making in the pocket is concerned, he is retarded. I just say that because he's slow, not because he has a mental issue. But Cleveland's laying 7, Sean. That's a bad line. And I'm shocked it hasn't moved. And maybe this has nothing to do with how Cleveland has played in the past. I could totally ignore how Cleveland's played in the past couple weeks when they haven't played as well. Give me this is a crazy, crazy. I know Cleveland's got a solid defense, but I'll be damned if they beat anyone by more than a touchdown. Or at least I'm not laying a touchdown. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jacksonville has a little bit of fight, like we said, especially on the road. This feels very similar to the Houston game.
And this is a game, if you like it, go and bet it now, because I'm not sure it's going to stay at 7 for much longer.
Yeah.
All right, Sean. Tampa Bay Bucks playing hard. Head out, take to the road to take on Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, who, like you said, came off of a impressive non-conference road win. You know, bad situation. Now they're coming back home. They're going to get healthy. I don't see. I think Tampa really needs to run the ball to keep Mike Glennon from getting his long neck broken. And I like this team. I know Tampa's a solid team against the run. I think Cam Newton has maybe his biggest passing game of the season in this game. Tampa is getting 8.5 points. Doesn't scare me.
8.5's too high for
me. It's a bad matchup. I'm taking the Panthers here. I think Panthers win by 24 points.
8.5's too high for a division game where both teams seem to be playing hard.
Is it?
I think so, yeah. This is a division game. This is one of Tampa's bigger games. I think they're going to be fine on the Carolina turf. And, I think I would like Carolina here at 7, but at 8.5, I feel like I got to take Tampa.
Trap. All right, Chicago heads to Minnesota. Don't really know what to think about this game. The NFC North has been a mysterious place this year. We don't think Chicago is very good, right?
No, but I think they rebound against this. This Minnesota team's very bad.
Are they? They're at home. See, I like this Minnesota team at home laying less than a field goal against it. I don't think they're very inferior. I don't think Chicago's 3 points better on a neutral, maybe on a neutral field, but at home, I like this home field.
All right, you're kind of talking me into it.
I like Jared Allen, probably playing one of his last home games in Minnesota, as he's already talked about. You know, he's probably not going to be around next year. I just like this team at home. I know AP's banged up, but I don't think Chicago is very good. I don't think their defense is very good. I think AP could have a signature game. And as long as this line is pick 'em, I'm in.
All right, you talk me into it. I'll take Minnesota at home.
Sean, your Arizona Cardinals take to the road to face the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ah, oh, man.
Oh, no. Philly, -3 with some juice, looking like it might get to 3.5. It's in 3.5. It's 3.5 in some offshore books. God, every time it's never a good sign when I feel like the better side is the Eagles. I don't really know how to feel about this game, Sean, because I want to take the Eagles as the play here, but I don't know if I can wager money on it, because you get that situation where when they get down, you're like, yeah, that feels good. But yeah, the Eagles is totally the play here. I mean, Arizona's coming off a huge win. I don't know. Do we believe in Philly? I think the answer to that question is you have to believe in Philly a little bit. I think Chip Kelly has kind of admitted areas he was wrong and fixed them. I think Chip Kelly arguably should be, like, right now Chip Kelly would be my vote for coach of the year, Chip Kelly and Ron Rivera, solely because they admitted they were idiots and changed. And well, you laugh, but that's a very hard thing for NFL coaches to do. So it's kind of refreshing seeing a coach adapt his system to his players and not the other way around.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm a little biased. I'll go with the Eagles here.
Really?
I'll go with the Eagles here.
You're not pulling for your Cardinals?
Listen, I can make a... First off, you got the West Coast team going to the East Coast for an early kickoff.
You love that.
Which can factor in. I think Arizona's coming off a big win, like we said. Eagles are coming off a bye week, so I like that spot a lot better. I think really what's getting overlooked here is how well the Eagles' defense has been playing, especially as of late. I think Carson Palmer outplayed himself. I don't see him having another game where he's not going to get intercepted.
He's had two this year, two in a row, I believe.
I like Arizona. I like going against Arizona in cold weather. And Nick Foles is playing really well. I mean, the Eagles have the number one passer, the number one rusher, and a defense that's playing fired up. And they seem to be playing pretty well overall. I think they match up well against Arizona. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and open things up for Nick Foles.
I think that's the big thing. The big matchup is Arizona has a great pass defense, but
I think they're going to be able to run on them.
I don't think they're going to be able to slow down LeSean McCoy. So it kind of scares me how much I like the Eagles here. Sean.
Yes.
Jets.
Ugh.
First time all season they did the same thing 2 weeks in a row, and that was lost.
Yeah. When I had money on them, of course.
They are at home, where they will be facing the Miami Dolphins. They are laying 1.5. This is a no-brainer. Tannehill is not going to do a goddamn thing in this game. Jets are going to win a very, very ugly game, something like 16-13. But this should be 3 points. It should be a 3-point spread, and it's not, so I'm taking the home team.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go Miami here. Can I?
No, because you know it's a bad spread.
Yeah, you're right. It probably should be 3. jeez, this is it's Jets.
I mean, if this is three and a half, I'm all over the Dolphins. But it's,
the Jets
it's
are just their offense is so horrible.
But their defense is really good, and they're at home. And
yeah, you're right. And this Miami offensive line is not going to be able to block the Jets defensive line at home. You're right.
Jets have been good at home. Jets have been very good at home.
Give me the Jets.
All right, Atlanta. Holy crap! Heads to Buffalo, where Buffalo is favored. Don't see that too much. I don't know. I think this is the this might be the game. I mean, like we talked about, I'm not looking to back Atlanta. I think Atlanta played their last hard game of the season. They are going outdoors to what surely should be a very cold game in upstate New York. I wish this wasn't 3.5. It's 3.5 even money, so it's hovering around that 3 with juice, 3.5 with no juice. I say buy it down. I know I say buy to push or buy to win, but in this scenario where you can flip a 3.5 plus 100 to a 3 minus 120, I think it's worth it. And I look for this. I'm not a huge fan of this Buffalo team, but I think coming off the bye, look for them to get Spiller involved heavily. He should be fully recovered. EJ Manuel, they had a nice week, kind of a hidden week, coming off the bye week late in the season to get right against a team that is looking, just can't wait for the season to be over.
Yeah, I mean, usually you want to go against a team that has a little extra time, but like you said,
they both had a lot of time, one coming off a Thursday game, one coming off a bye. But
yeah, I guess Atlanta, I think that almost hurt them at this point. Just all doom and gloom in the Falcons there. They're going up, cold weather. I don't see them showing up. I see the Bills team showing up. Hopefully they get Spiller the ball. Other than that, I don't – but the Bills should win easily here. I don't see a great effort coming out of this Atlanta team.
Yep. All right, Sean. San Francisco 49ers, as we talked about, I am not looking to lay a lot of points with this team. Well, they're at home against the St. Louis Rams, who they not only did they play to a draw and a loss last year, San Francisco blew St. Louis out at home earlier in the season. St. Louis is remembering that. I think this is a great spot. That defense is playing extremely fired up. The offenses are doing enough to move the ball. Clemens, give Jeff Fisher some credit. He's got a backup that can actually play. Not scared to throw the ball with him. He's looked more serviceable than some of the guys starting in this league. I like the way this defense is playing right now. I think this is a low-scoring game. The spread's 8.5. The total's 42. They both feel high. This feels like a great take the dog, take the under.
It feels like a low-scoring game. We've talked about Colin Kaepernick's accuracy. I think that might hurt them getting drives. You know, a guy who throws a lot of incompletes, that's great for the under. And also, if you're getting 9 points, it's just – all they need is like one big play from Tavon Austin and their defense to keep playing solid. And I think St. Louis covers this pretty
easily. Perhaps it's a trap, and maybe San Francisco is on their way to becoming that dominant team again. Jeff Fisher is a smart coach, and that's – I like the prospect of getting over a touchdown in this situation. Especially with the way San Francisco is coming off. Huge game against the Panthers. Huge game against the Saints. Huge Monday night game against the Redskins. I think it's a tough three-game stretch. I think situationally, between getting beat up in those two previous games and now coming off the Monday night game, where honestly, they didn't look that impressive, in my opinion. I mean, Washington, I think, is one of the worst teams in the league at this point, and the score was not quite indicative of – they did dominate, but I'm surprised they put up that many points. St. Louis's defense a little bit better than Washington. So, yeah, I like this a lot. This might be my lock, Sean. All right, my Houston Texans getting 7.5 at home against the Patriots, Sean. Boy, does this seem like a perfect spot for the home dog. Here's the problem. Houston sucks. But you think about it, New England coming off this miraculous game, head down to Houston. Is this their last hurrah? Is this the game that Houston decides to play hard?
It doesn't feel like it, Ryan. It doesn't feel like it, but
it doesn't. But I can't
go against Houston as a home dog, 7.5 points. I will take it.
I mean, it just seems like New England, I know they're coming off that big night game.
But now let's think about this. Is New England, they're going to need these wins for playoff position. They just got reinvigorated with a nice Sunday night win, a little bit of swagger. What's preventing them from going down to Houston?
Do they just start running it up?
Yeah, see, this is a Belichick special, I feel like.
Here's what I think. Go ahead.
I think I might be leaning to New England here.
Here's the thing. Did you see what Denver did on the ground?
That's true.
Houston will be able to run the ball, and I think that will allow them to keep it close. And like you said, statistically, they have a very good defense. So I'm going to take the home dog here, and I'm going to expect at least one defensive touchdown from the Patriots to screw me. So
I'll stay with the home dog as well. But this, why would you bet this game?
Why would, I mean, yeah, it just,
you stay away from this thing.
Maybe you tease New England down. Maybe that's the move.
Yeah, but what? There's no need to get involved in this.
Cincinnati heads to San Diego, where Cincinnati is getting 1.5. I don't know how I feel about this San Diego team. I'm surprised, really surprised, this isn't a pick 'em or Cincinnati -2.5.
Oh wow, I thought this should be San Diego -3.
No, oh, definitely.
My power rankings, I got to
meet. Oh, stop it.
Well,
stop.
I'm not kidding.
Stop. Yeah, I like the road team. I like Cincinnati. I think they're just a better team. I think San Diego has had a, I don't know. I guess the game last week against the Chiefs, I'm kind of throwing out due to the bad situation for the Chiefs. But I feel like San Diego's had some trouble stepping up in class. Maybe I'm completely off here. And I also, San Diego's played a little bit better on the road this season, haven't they?
Perhaps, but I think San Diego shows up here. I think that that divisional win got them jacked up a little bit. Cincinnati's got to travel pretty far. And I think San Diego shows up at home. Phillip Rivers is looking good. Like you said, I think he's kind of found some comfort there with Danny Woodhead coming out of the backfield. I think that's going to be a bad matchup for the Cincinnati defense.
I'd also like at this time to commend the NFL for spreading the schedule out. Sometimes, you know, this is the kind of week where they put one game at 1 o'clock and everything else at 10 a.m. Well, no. 4 1 p.m. Pacific starts, and what, 5 early games, 6 early games? I like the balance.
Well, I got to complain with the NFL, or maybe NBC.
For not flexing.
They didn't, and it's annoying because I'm going to be traveling.
Well, to be fair, the game they were talking about flexing was the Eagles-Cardinals. Is that really an upgrade? Record-wise, it is. But interest-wise, I don't know.
Well, both are potential playoff teams.
Yeah, but you get the RG3 stories. That's what they – look, read between the lines, Sean. They want – I mean, that a lot of fodder to talk for Collinsworth and Michaels to talk about. So if, in that sense, it's D.C., it's New York. I get why you don't. Hey, look, they're competing against the no, they're not. That's Sunday. First of all, Monday Night Football lost to The Voice last or 2 weeks ago.
Well, it's all your promotion on here, Ryan, talking about CeeLo's outfits.
God, he's last night I'm watching the show. I hate to talk about The Voice. This motherfucker wears bed sheets, and people take his advice. He wears bed sheets. I got to start tweeting out pictures of CeeLo. Anyway, Giants head to D.C. to take on the Redskins. This line opened at Redskins -2, Sean. It's now Giants -1.
It's a lot of – that's a big swing.
Giants as a road favorite is a terrifying proposition. Giants are a better road team. They probably should be laying 3 here the way this Redskins team – I mean, RG3, if he's playing – again, I'll say it again. The Giants defensive line has been one of the nice spots for them all year, especially against the run. Washington has to run the ball. Short of Garcon making a couple big plays on the outside, I don't see how Washington wins this game.
Well, right. Now, maybe is this Washington Super Bowl? We talk about these bad teams finding a Super Bowl in the same way that Super Bowl was the Thursday night game. Could this not be Custard and Shanahan's last stand?
Could be. But I think the big –
getting up to play a
Here's
Giants
the thing,
team
though.
That's not good.
The argument of a bad team finding that one game to kind of rally around makes sense when the team is rallying together. If this team really isn't rallying around RG3, then I don't know if that's going to be the case. Look, again, coming back to those videos, if you haven't seen them, check out the Twitter feed. Sean's, you tweeted it out, right?
At Gambling Podcast. It's on the big lead. And
man, he's getting planted, and not only do it's not like the linemen aren't in the area and don't help him
up.
It's
very blatant.
They literally go over to him and then just don't help him up. And in the one case last night on that handoff, Trent Williamson or whatever his name is, the left tackle, at the time, before I saw these videos, when I saw him do that, it looked very, very suspicious. Like he kind of let Alden Smith go through, which that's probably not the case, but was he trying 100%? I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
You like the skin? You going to play the skins here?
I was just trying to.
Hard to get behind this skins team.
Do some solid handicapping, Ryan. I you know me, I'm a gut handicapper.
Although, the fascinating
guy on
thing
Twitter
about this
said he liked my gut handicapping.
Fascinating thing about this line is the Niners are only four and a half points better than the Giants on a neutral field. I mean, I know you can't use the transitive property when it applies to sports betting, but in that sense, it makes me believe that the Redskins is definitely the play. I mean, that's the argument for the Redskins, right? Is, you know, or the Niners should have been favored by more. But I don't know. That hard spot to want to take the Redskins here, which, you know, the ugly dogs sometimes bite the hardest. Last up, maybe the only good Monday Night Football game we've had all year. ESPN gets lucky. New Orleans heads to Seattle. This is one of those rare games where I honestly believe this game takes place in New Orleans. It's probably four and a half. And if it takes place in Seattle, it's going to be four and a half. The line's 5.5 now, Sean. It feels a little high. I don't know if I can back the Seahawks in this scenario. Assuming Darren Sproles is playing.
Yeah, that's huge for them.
Give me the Saints. If not, I'll probably pass on this game, although that's a dirty lie because it's prime time, and you know I can't get away from that.
Times.
But it is kind of a strange game that if this game was in New Orleans, like there'd probably be at least a 9-point line move, right?
Yeah, we hate going against taking the Saints outdoors, but normally it's usually like the Saints are outdoors and they're like a 3-point road favorite. The Saints are a 6-point dog, and I think New Orleans is one of the better teams in the NFC.
Yeah, I'd argue,
if not the best team in the NFC.
I'd argue the Saints at home are maybe the best team in the NFL.
That's true. So, but they still show up on the road. It's not like they don't play on the road.
But you know what? I think we're overcomplicating this, Sean, because at the end of the day, there's a couple rules you can apply to both of these teams. You bet them, you play them when they're at home, and you either pass or fade them on the road. Now, this might be a case where passing is the best option. Gun to my head, like I said, if Sproles is playing, I think this should be a 4.5-point spread. So
yeah, if you can get New Orleans at 6, I say grab that. I like the New Orleans action there. Okay, Ryan,
give me your action for the week, Sean.
All right, I'll start off with my 3-team tees, which I already laid out on. I'll do a special 3-team Thanksgiving tease.
Oh,
for you guys, I know you guys are hungry for some action.
Dun, 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 dun.
Detroit Lions, tease them down to even.
Yep.
Oakland Raiders, tease them up to 16, 15
yep.
and a half. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, tease that up to 9.
Yeah. That, I mean, that's...
Where do I go wrong, Ryan?
No, that's what you do there. That's what you do in a Steelers-Ravens game. You tease it up.
Upset special? I'll take those Saints as a 6-point dog. Upset special, baby.
Money line. All right.
I mean, I'm not crazy about it, but I think we're talking overall value. Or, actually, you know what? Scratch that. I'm gonna ride my boys in Jacksonville. They wanted me back. Why not take the Jags getting 7? Or, I mean, to win outright against this Cleveland team. I think they show up again.
Oh, yeah.
So give me the Jags as my upset special. And for my lock of the week, there's a lot of games I feel pretty solid about, Ryan, but to call it a lock, I don't want to just throw out some pick here willy-nilly. I think my lock.
You think about it, Sean. I'll let everyone. You know what it is?
What's up?
I don't want to rush you.
Okay.
I can pick while you're thinking about it.
All right, because I have a couple picks that are competing for my lock. I want to make sure I pick the right one.
All right, Sean. For me, pretty easy here. My lock of the week, I just don't know how I don't take. I really like it. I don't know how I don't take it. I've been thinking of it. My lock will be Jacksonville.
All right.
Plus the points. My tease. This one feels a little. I don't know how I feel about this one, but I'm gonna tease. Man, hard. The teasers are tough this week because you don't have those good point ranges. I'm going to tease Detroit down. You know what? I'll piggyback with that Thursday night, that Thanksgiving tease. It's a good one. The better way to tease the Oakland game is probably Dallas down, but I'm fine with going Dallas up. I'd probably pay the extra 10 cents to get it to 17. So I'll do a 6.5-point teaser. I'll go Detroit plus a half, Oakland plus 17, Pittsburgh plus 9.5. And for my money line, upset special. Houston, on the money line, shocks the world against New England.
Okay, for my lock of the week, Ryan, I'll go with the St. Louis Rams. Getting 9 points.
Yep, that was going to be my other one.
Way too high.
Yep. All right, Sean, real quick. As you know, Sean, rivalry week.
Oh,
week.
Yeah. You want my Iron Bowl pick?
College football.
Let's do Iron Bowl, UCLA, USC.
And there's one more we're going to do.
Okay.
One more relevant one to the national stage. We'll start with that one. Probably the most classic of football rivalries. Arguably one of the most, if not the most. Michigan-Ohio State. Mm. Ohio State on its way to potentially its second straight undefeated season. Obviously, the championship game still pending. Ohio State's laying 14.5 in Michigan. Michigan's garbage. I really want so bad for Michigan to win this game. I don't think they can. And I so much so, I think you probably lay the points here.
I'll take Michigan as a huge home dog.
But they're so bad. They're so bad.
Football,
I don't know
it's
shit about the Big
right?
Ten, though.
You got 110,000 fans. They'll show up.
Yeah, I guess so.
To keep it close.
I guess so. Next up, the local battle, Sean. UCLA versus USC. Last I checked, because I'm not... Oh, there it is. USC is laying 3.5. I'm seeing some fours.
I've been on UCLA the whole year.
I think we'll go head-to-head here, because I'm going to take the Trojans, because okay. I think this team is playing for
Fred
their coach to keep their job.
I'll take the 3.5.
They have the better talent, and I think he's getting them to play. I wish this was 3. Thought it might be 3, but I'm going to take the 3.5.
I'll take that extra hook and a point because it's basically like a home game for UCLA. So,
actually, we should do one more just because I just saw it. Notre Dame-Stanford, another classic rivalry. Stanford minus 14. Does Stanford have something to play for?
Give me Notre Dame.
I believe Stanford is in the Pac-12 championship with Oregon's shocking loss to Rich Rod and the Arizona Wildcats. And, my God, is this Notre Dame team bad? I'm going to take another big favorite here. I think Stanford isn't laying enough points. Grab this at 14 before it hops to 14.5. And, Sean, the big game, the game everyone cares about, the Virginia Tech Hokies travel to Charlotte's. No, I'm just kidding. Don't mess with that game. Tech's laying almost 2 touchdowns. Not
with that offense.
Alabama heads into Auburn. Of course, 1 playing 4, most likely for a berth in the national championship, whoever wins the game, assuming they win the SEC championship. Alabama laying 11 points.
It's too high. Give me all these home dogs. Lay
Is
all
it
the
too
home
high?
Dogs.
I think this is Alabama's statement game. A.J. McCarron looking for a three-peat.
Catherine Webb is scared. There was a press release that Catherine Webb, A.J. McCarron fears for her safety. Now,
Musburger going to be in attendance?
Oh, right.
Sorry, I had to get to
it's
it.
All right.
I saw your eyes.
I was lighting up. I was teeing myself up for a Musburger joke.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I almost like betting on Alabama in this game better because it's on the road, because I certainly wouldn't want to lay like the 17 or whatever.
You talked me into it. Give me Alabama.
I just think
this is
Alabama's statement game. I think that there are no – I think the two best teams in the country are very clear. It's Florida State It's Alabama. I think Jameis Winston getting a little bit of a bad rap. Volunteered his DNA to police. It sounds like he admitted to having sex with this girl already. Yet the story is, well, victim had DNA of Jameis Winston. So sounds like it's some dumb college bitch who's trying to get a payday. I mean, honestly, it does. From everything I'm reading, this sounds like this actually does sound like a character assassination, because people aren't reading the details and they're like, oh, Jameis Winston raped a chick.
Yeah, it is weird. Either you're dismissing a rape victim or you're being racist. Like, whatever side you want to weigh in on.
Not to mention, the thing that does make it seem shady is that the Tallahassee police just kind of threw the case away.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they threw a case away for a reason. So it's like, people are trying to make a story of it because it's a football player, because it's a black dude who's now up for the Heisman. That's what happens when you get really popular really fast.
But
shit comes out of the closet.
Could
it be true? Yeah. Definitely.
It very well could be the other way, where in all these cases, it sounds like it usually comes down to they had sex.
Yep.
And then either she wasn't 100% consenting, at some point she didn't like what she was doing, or she was drunk and then maybe regretted it.
It's like the morning after regret. Like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have fucked the football player.
Or maybe he really did force her. I mean, either one of those situations I think is believable. I don't really know either of these people.
Look, as someone who went, and you did too, Sean, for a year or two or whatever you were at Penn State.
Yeah.
As someone who went to a college football program, a school with a big-time college football program, you saw the way that chicks reacted to the football. Look, I was there when D'Angelo Hall was there, Michael Vick, Ernest Wilford. Like, dudes who went on to play in the NFL, and these girls knew they were getting paydays. They knew what was up. And it's nowadays it's a completely different world with Twitter and everything else, but it's almost kind of annoying. It's like, look, you're going to hang around the criminal and you're going to do stuff with the criminal, but when the cops come and you get implicated in the crime, it's like, oh, no, I didn't know what I was doing. Like, deal with it. Granted, yes, maybe something actually happened, but... And look, if Big Ben can get caught,
now
anyone
that one,
can get caught.
But that one seemed way more legitimate to me.
That's kind of my point. Like, look, there isn't much around this story other than it involves Jameis Winston and the police, the case was thrown out.
Right, and is it thrown out for good measure? Or
months ago, and now he's in the Heisman race, and all of a sudden there's like a private investigator, and the cops are being pressured to reopen the story. I'm just saying it seems fishy.
The timing does seem bad, but now they claim they were waiting for these DNA tests, and they weren't getting them, which is
Didn't he just submit his DNA, though?
I don't know. Honestly, I have not followed the story, because anytime I hear these stories, I just assume it comes down to a he said, she said. And it's how do you really end up proving it, which is shitty for the victim and the guy getting
the thing,
accused.
I feel bad in the case of the college athlete because, look, the same premise applies. You're trying to get it – if it's false, if your allegations aren't true, you're trying to get some sort of payday, whether it's interviews or book deal or whatever, right? And at least when you're doing it to a pro athlete, like they have something tangible they can give you. But the way that the world is structured, these college kids have nothing yet. And you could potentially be costing this guy...
So then what's in it for her?
Millions and millions of dollars.
So if she's cost... Wouldn't she, by in a way, cost herself millions of dollars?
Waiting?
Let's say she is just making this up and is pushing the story.
Because this is what happened.
Wouldn't
people
she
are...
be better off waiting until he actually won the Heisman and started getting paid before he started knocking her down?
Yeah, but that's where you get the, hey, things happen now. Look, he's in the Heisman race. He may never get back to this level of publicity. This is, you know, it's kind of that whole a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. Always take the
lump
sum.
Yeah, but how is she going to get any money? He doesn't have any money.
Well, however she gets the money, I mean, whether she gets money from suing Florida State or the police department or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The point is you take the opportunity, and it's smart. If the allegations are false and someone just got in her ear, it's smart to always take the money while you can try to take the money. And he may never be as famous as he is today. Bottom line. He blows his knee out, never plays football again, you know? Now you're just trying to sue a washed-up fat dude on his couch. That's all.
Very interesting story. Actually, I don't know how interesting it is, but it'll be interesting how it affects the Heisman race. Okay, Ryan, anything else?
No.
Derrick Rose after the season.
Got to be – Sean, getting some feedback.
Yeah, from what?
The viewers want us to split the pod up. Two-part. Two-parter.
Oh, really?
A recap and a preview.
A two separate podcast.
I think we're getting some feedback as far as just simplicity of like knowing you're listening. I'm listening to the recap, and it kind of there's a logical separation between the two.
Okay.
So even if we record at the same time, maybe start splitting it up.
All right.
Got to listen to the people.
The fans have spoken. Consider that moving forward. All right. For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I am Sean Stacking the Money Greed, and he is Ryan.
Happy Turkey Day, Sean.
Kramer, let it ride.